Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with Angela Stiles, Administrator for Federal Procurement Policy in the Office of Management and Budget. Well, Angela, what do you think are the greatest challenges facing procurement officials today and in the future?
Currently, I think the greatest challenge is trying to figure out how we push forward with what the President has articulated as our primary goals and objectives. And in my mind, in acquisition, that means competition. How do we make sure there's an appropriate level of competition? And how do we make sure that our system is appropriately transparent so people know that the decisions we make are objective and not subjective in nature, and that we are promoting access of lots of different companies, commercial companies, into our marketplace? I certainly am concerned that if our system is viewed as too subjective in nature, that people don't want to participate. People don't want to contract with the government if they think that the deal is already set, that, you know, there's certain agencies that contract with certain contractors. You know, I want to make sure that the system is objective, promotes competition, and is as transparent as we can possibly make it.
Do you have a time frame for how this will work? I'm curious because FAIR was a 98 Act.
That's
and
right.
Even in now, in 2001, people are still getting, people got red dots in their scorecard. Do you think it's going to take a while for people to really want to do what people actually said they were going to do?
Absolutely. I think particularly at the civilian agencies, as far as competitive sourcing and public-private competition goes, there's not really significant infrastructure in place to conduct these types of competitions. So it's going to take a long time. And I think, as I've said before, I want the focus to be good management plans, to be really taking a look at everything that the agency is doing to be meeting their mission goals, and use competitive sourcing and public-private competition as a tool. It's a means to an end. It's not the end in and of itself.
What do you see as the upcoming procurement and acquisition trends?
From my perspective, I certainly see a focus on, again, on competition to make sure that we have an appropriate level of competition. I see us focusing on the acquisition workforce to make sure that it is well coordinated between what I've mentioned as the program requirements, management, and procurement people. Those people have to be working together for us to be able to meet any of our goals, whether they're procurement goals, human capital, financial improvement, competitive sourcing. I mean, we've got to move to a cultural change, and a cultural change in the way we contract as well. You know, a lot of people talk about performance-based service contracts, and the primary difficulty with implementing those is that there's not a cultural change. These three groups in acquisition aren't communicating, the requirements people aren't communicating enough of their needs to the procurement people to be able to write a performance-based service contract. So there's some cultural changes that have to take place, I think, for us to make significant steps forward in how the government contracts.
Are there any new procurement technologies on the horizon that will allow this to happen?
We certainly have looked at a lot of different areas, and we don't want to move out with something before it's viable. I think we had some past experiences in procurement with things like FactNet, for anybody that's familiar with that. So we don't want to move out ahead of the curve, but we want to make sure that we're appropriately using technology. What I've found interesting is we have a federal procurement data system, which for a number of years, as required by statute, collects data on procurements. But it's really just been used to report back to Congress on meeting small business goals, women-owned small business, minority forum, all the goals, the statutory goals that Congress sets forth. And what I want to move that to is to a management tool where a manager of a federal department or agency can actually look at it and say, okay, I've got my FAIR Act inventories. I've got a list of inherently governmental people, but I also know what my contractors are doing. I can have a tool available that immediately tells me exactly what it is that I have contracted out, so I'm able to manage that and know how these contractors are helping me meet my missions and goals. But we've also got some initiatives in other areas, vendor registration, past performance databases, and certainly taking a look at integrated acquisition.
We hear a lot about the coming retirement wave and the difficulty of retaining government employees and recruiting. How will these issues impact procurement offices throughout the agencies?
Well, the first step is making sure that Congress doesn't attempt to make further cuts in the acquisition workforce, and we have been very upfront in our opposition to some congressional initiatives to cut the workforce, because it really is the key workforce to make improvements in the management of government. And as I've talked about before, one of the elements of the president's management agenda is the Human Capital Initiative. It's actually shared jointly between OMB and OPM, which is very unique in the history of OMB and OPM to share an initiative such as this. And we've actually introduced legislation, the Managerial Flexibility Act, and we've briefed a good number of the stakeholders on it. And that would one of the titles of the Managerial Flexibility Act would actually make some changes to make the personnel system more flexible for the agencies. But with that said, you know, we're working pretty hard, and I've seen Kay Cole James out talking to numerous departments and agencies about the flexibilities that they have in place and how they should be used. I mean, certainly there's some concern that the departments and agencies have a lot of flexibility out there that they haven't, for a number of reasons, used. So we're pushing forward with them actually using those, actually working to recruit and retain the good people. And I guess the other element to that is certainly the technology workers, which the, you know, we've had some historic difficulty retaining versus the private sector. And, you know, we need to think long and hard about what we can anticipate is an appropriate level of technology workers. You know, I'm concerned that even now we don't have an appropriate level of public sector employees that can even manage our IT contracts. So it has to be a focus of how do we recruit and retain the appropriate people for those positions.
Could you tell us a little bit about the Managerial Flexibility Act in terms of what it is and why you think it's important?
Well, we came out with a Freedom to Manage initiative that has several parts. A Freedom to Manage Act, which would give us fast track authority for some statutory barriers that agencies may have to managing their agency. There's some, you know, ludicrous examples like not being able to fly test planes east of the Mississippi. You know, there's some, and we're asking departments and agencies to really come forward with their lists of requirements that Congress has put on for one reason or another that, you know, may have had some validity at one point in time but doesn't now. There's also the Managerial Flexibility Act, which has three titles. One is a budget integration portion, which actually would reflect the full cost of retirement and health costs in agency budgets. OPM actually pays for a great deal of the cost right now, so the agencies don't know what the true costs of their personnel are. A second title deals with many of the personnel issues and flexibilities. And then the third title has to do with property disposal and actually incentivizing the departments and agencies to determine what some of the excess property is that they have, and it would allow them to keep some of the money once that property is actually sold. Right now, if the Department of Defense has excess property, the money resulting from that sale simply goes back to the, you know, general fund, so the department has no incentive to actually identify excess property, and this would change that.
Why, whenever there's discussion about flexibility, people are quick to point out, as you did, that the agencies actually have much flexibility and they perhaps don't use it. How does that work? Do they just not know about it, or do they really need more? I've never quite understood the balance.
Some of it is not knowing about it. Some of it is education. Some of it is certainly concern about using it. I mean, I think there's some of the federal employees are concerned about how the authorities will be used, and I think some of that concern is legitimate. But there also are some additional flexibilities that we think would be appropriate, too. So we'd like to move forward to those as well. I mean, part of some of it's educational about what we already have, and some of it's moving forward with our legislation on the Hill.
What's your vision for OFPP in the future, the next 10 years? What will it look like? What will it be doing?
You know, we have some, it's interesting, it's a very small shop of people. We've got about 23 people on staff, and it's gone back and forth. I mean, sometimes it's considered to be an implementation office, and sometimes it's considered to be a policy office. And my vision for it is certainly to be a premier policy office. You know, we are within the Office of Management and Budget. We're within the Office of the President, and we're really relied upon for advice on all aspects of procurement laws and policies and acquisition and oftentimes a lot of other labor issues and various policies. And I want OFPP to really be the premier policy office, the place that people go when they have the difficult policy questions. How should we change this regulation? What's the right way to do this? You know, what's the vision for the future of procurement? What laws do we need? What changes to laws do we need? You know, certainly we'll always have some mission in trying to implement being at OMB, but I like the focus to be on the true policy issues and determining some of the difficult questions that we have in acquisition.
Well, I'm afraid we're out of time, Angela. I want to thank you for joining us this morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
And did you want to mention your website one more time?
It's at omb.gov, and many of the issues that I've discussed here today with the President's Management Agenda and our scorecard are available there.
Are the scorecards with the red dots there yet?
We don't actually have those, but they will be eventually. So,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Angela Stiles, Administrator for Federal Procurement Policy in the Office of Management and Budget. Be sure and visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. There you can learn more about our programs and research and get a transcript of today's very interesting conversation. Once again, that's endowment.pwcglobal.com. This is Paul Lawrence. See you next week.